For I am the Lord, says God, and there is none to compare with me. There are many voices that rise up and they say, oh, here's the Messiah, here's the deliverer, here's the one. This one has the answer, this one has the way, this one has the wisdom. They don't. For all wisdom is found in me, declares the Father. For man knows very little except what I've revealed to him. And the things that I have revealed, they will take and run with them and go in this direction and go in that direction. For they seek to understand these things by their own wisdom, by their own understanding, instead of by my spirit. For my spirit does not bring division, declares God. My spirit is a unifier. My spirit has come that all men would come together as one in me, declares the Father. But there are those running and say, no, you follow me and I will produce unity. But all they do is create division, because all they can do is condemn everyone who doesn't agree with them. That is not my unity, says God. For I do not judge you and I do not condemn you because you haven't yet caught up. But I will love you and bring you in. Those who hunger and those who thirst shall be satisfied. But if you thirst for the things of this world, if you thirst for natural things, you will always be hungry, you will always be thirsty, because you will never be satisfied. But if you come to me, says God, oh, I have a well that will never run dry. I have manna that will feed you on a regular basis. So come to me and cast off the understanding of the world. Cast off the news media. Cast off those who are seeking to prophesy but with a wrong spirit. And cast them aside. And come to me, declares the Father, for I will comfort you, and I will draw you into my unity, and then you will begin to see things in your life and see the things around you in clarity. For I will give you light in the darkness, and I will give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding in the times of confusion. So come to me and seek after me, for I am the way, declares Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, God. Glory to you. Glory to you, Father. We praise your name, oh God. We praise you. We praise you, God. Praise you, Father. For there is a wisdom of the world, and there is a wisdom of my spirit. And the wisdom of this world is passing away. And you see it before you. For those who have declared and cried one thing, oh, tomorrow they'll cry and declare another thing. And the day after that, they will cry and they will declare still another thing. And yet, in the midst of it, my word is a clarion call. And it is a clear call. And it does not change. For I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. My wisdom is not up and down. My wisdom doesn't change with the times. My word that is uttered forth from my mouth, declares God, through the prophets, has not yet failed. And it stands the test of your time. It stands the test of being hundreds and thousands of years old, and yet it is still just as true today as it was when it was first spoken. And it is causing things to come to pass in the earth that disturb all the earthly wisdom and understanding. For try as they may, they cannot grasp it. For it is spiritual, and it is understood and revealed by my spirit, says God. So those who do not walk with me will never grasp it. They will never understand it. For only my spirit gives them the understanding and gives them the revelation. So seek after me and hunger after me and thirst after me, that you would be filled, that you would come out of the darkness and into my marvelous light, declares God. For I will show you the way, and I will show you how it's to be done. But stand with me, stand with me, stand with me. Hallelujah. You ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. Let's share our favorite Bible verse together. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Well, this is the second half of last week's message, and we've been sharing that his knowledge is that Jesus and God understand his kingdom has come. That's the fragrance of his knowledge that you and I are told to take into every place that we go. The knowledge that his kingdom has come. Amen? Now that gets to be real exciting when you begin to understand what his kingdom really is. And we had a word September 9th, 2018, and this is what the word of the Lord said. Those who walk in my kingdom are establishing a new world. You're stamping the heart of God in the earth. Now, Matthew 8 and 9 are a demonstration of Yahweh's, God's new world. And it's a world that is established on his kingdom come. Now, God's natural kingdom, we've said this over, this is the 10th week that we've been on this. But God's kingdom is on a collision course with the kingdom of this world. And the greatest thing about this is God's kingdom is greater. I like that. God's kingdom is bigger. It's better. It's greater than anything that this world has to offer. That's why it's so exciting. And we jumped ahead. We're in Matthew 9, but we jumped ahead to Matthew 11, 12, because one of the interesting verses that I think as Matthew talks, you know, these things are ordered by the Holy Spirit, written as, and men wrote them down as directed by the Holy Spirit. And I believe Matthew 11, 12, that he begins to get into and explain chapter 8 and chapter 9. So it becomes particularly relevant with what we're talking about right now in chapter 9. We'll get to that in a minute. But from Matthew 11, 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, the same word for the kingdom of heaven suffers violence is found in Luke chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. And it says, it reads like this, the same place in the scripture that Luke wrote, but Luke wrote it down a little bit different. Or I should say, it's interpreted in our Bibles differently because Luke used the same word that Matthew used, but we interpret it different. He says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Now, the curious thing about that is the kingdom of God evidently was not preached until John the Baptist. So this is a new concept that Jesus is introducing into the earth, that the kingdom of God is at hand. See, to the Jewish people, the kingdom of God was when the Messiah came and he would establish the kingdom of David on the earth. And it was always ahead. It was always future. And many Christians are still today looking at the kingdom of God as though it's future. Now's the day. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, and John the Baptist preached the same thing, that the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's present. It's right now. And John started teaching that, and everyone started pressing into it, according to Luke. Now, Luke 16, 17 says, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. In other words, what I'm saying to you, I'm just reinforcing it, what I'm saying to you, the kingdom of God has come and people are pressing into it. And it will not fail, meaning the kingdom of God will not fail. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for what I've just told you to fail. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is backing up the kingdom. The man, it's being preached right now. People are pressing into it, and I'm telling you, it will not fail. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you press into it, it'll work for you. If you have the heart to press in, if you have a heart to go past the obstructions of your life to get in the kingdom of God, you will enter into the kingdom of God. See, God doesn't have any ifs, ands, or buts. Well, you're going to press in, unless it's the Friday the 13th, because nobody gets anything on Friday the 13th. You know, it's like, well, where did you get that from? See, Friday the 13th is a great day for me. My dad was born on Friday the 13th. I mean, I praise God. So when people come in, oh, it's Friday the 13th, happy birthday, Dad. I mean, every Friday the 13th, I celebrate Dad's birthday. I'm just so excited he was born, because if he hadn't been born, I wouldn't be here. Amen? So I always be grateful to your parents, because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. Well, who would I be? Well, you wouldn't be anybody, because you wouldn't exist. Hello? You know? This is rocket science here, but anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. I don't have a lot of time to get through this, but Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18, and I'm going to read verse 26, hopefully without interruption. So don't bother me. So it says, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, this is Jairus. We find that in Luke. Matthew does name him, but in Luke it names him as Jairus. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Now, I'm sharing this. We're kind of coming in the middle of it. But Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had come to Jesus. Now, if you back up to Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, the scribes had accused Jesus of blasphemy. And while this whole discussion in the first part of chapter 9 is going on, this is when Jairus comes. And Jairus is probably standing at the edge, while the Jews are claiming that Jesus is committing blasphemy because he forgave sins, because only God can forgive sins. And they accuse him of blasphemy. And this is a famous scripture. Well, you know, is it easier to forgive sins or is it easier to heal? Well, in their understanding, it was easier to heal than it was to forgive sins, which is the reverse of what most people believe today. And because only God can forgive sin. Oh man, I could go off on a tangent on that and preach, because that's really an awesome thing. Because Jesus told us, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. Ooh, think about that for some meditation. So, but the religious Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes were always planning ways to entrap Jesus. Jesus, we said last week, was even put out of the synagogue. They even told Jesus, don't show up at church. We got guards at the doors, and you are not welcome into church. It's still that way in some churches today. You know, you can talk about them. You can bring the Holy Scriptures in, but don't let Jesus in the door. We have guards, because when Jesus comes in, people get healed. People get set free. Lives change. And we don't want lives to be changed. We want you to just remember how good God is, and we want you to remember how miserable you are, and how you've got to buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus just breaks all that up. I love him. I love him so much. Well, Jairus is aware of all these things. And Jairus was breaking with the Orthodox priest. Now catch this. His daughter, this is quite a scenario. His daughter had just died. And while everybody's getting ready to mourn her death and to support the family, Jairus leaves the house. Now, as he leaves the house, there's people that are asking, where is Jairus going? Because this is not normal to leave the house when your daughter just died. You've got to be there to help comfort the people. You've got to be there to set everybody in the right positions. And Jairus just left the house. So there's a bunch of people following Jairus to find out where the heck he's going. And they're following after him. Now, Jairus comes to Jesus. There's already a crowd. There's already scribes. There's already Pharisees. There's already things going on. And then in the middle of it, John the Baptist's disciples come up, and they start asking Jesus some questions. So you got all this stuff going on. Jairus led a parade from his house to where Jesus was, and there was already a crowd of people where Jesus was, and then Jairus has the nerve to say, you come and lay your hands on my daughter and she'll live. And it's curious because where we picked up in verse 19, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now catch this. Here's a parade coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come. Now, they followed Jairus. Jesus, get this, Jesus is not leading the parade. Jairus is. And everybody's following Jairus. The crowd that originally followed Jairus is still with him because we're going back to the house now and he's got Jesus. He has broken protocol. This is not what a good man ought to be. But he did it. And Jesus is following him. And all the people that were with Jesus, we're going to check this out and see what's going on. So all the crowd that was already with Jesus is following Jairus and Jesus on the way. And in verse 19, it says, or in verse 20, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said, well, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. So she comes and presses in. Now, this is a whole parade. And Matthew describes this that she pressed in. She pressed in, touched the hem of his garment. She pressed in through the crowd to get to the Jesus' garment. Now, it wasn't just his garment, but the Jews, and Jesus was a good Jew, and he had a prayer shawl on. And this woman is pressing in to touch the hem of his garment because she knows, if only I touch it. But it wasn't just the garment. It was, oh my, how do I do this? She knew a scripture. Malachi 4:2, she knew the scripture. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. See, when she pressed through, she wasn't just trying to touch the hem of his garment. She was trying to touch the wings on the edges of his prayer shawl. So she fought through the crowd. Now, Jairus has already fought through. He's already said, I don't care what the Pharisees say. I don't care if I get kicked out of temple. I don't care if they never let me back in because my daughter's dead and I'm going to get her healed. And I'm going to Jesus because I believe he can do it. I mean, he was breaking all kinds of protocol. But now you've got this woman. She's breaking protocol. If she has been housebound for 12 years. She couldn't go out of her house because she had an issue of blood. She kept bleeding, and that makes you unclean. And in order for her to be out, she has to yell, unclean, unclean, unclean. Well, she wasn't yelling anything. She just thought, I'm going to press through, and if I can get to his garment and I can touch one of those prayer tassels, I'll be healed. That was all she had on her mind, and she did it. And I think it's Luke says Jesus felt virtue flow out from him. He felt power flow out from him, and he stopped the parade. Jairus, hold up a minute. Someone touched me. The disciples are, Jesus, there's a whole group of people here. We're in the middle of a parade. What do you mean someone touched you? People are bumping into you all the time. He said, no, someone touched me. And he turned around, and all we're told in Matthew, because this is all that Matthew was concerned about, he turned around and he saw her and he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now look at this. It wasn't a great faith of, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It was a faith that if I touch his garment, if I can get to him, I'll be healed. Jairus had the same concept, if I get to Jesus. And she was pushing through the ostracism of the crowd. Jairus was pushing through getting kicked out of the temple. Getting kicked out of his own synagogue. He was a ruler, the head man, the guy who coordinated everything, the guy who set up the speaker schedule, the guy who kept the temple. He was the main guy at the synagogue. And he was risking it all to go to Jesus Christ. He was willing to press through his own crowd. See, Matthew chapter 9:22, when Jesus says, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. We've got to understand, Jairus and the woman were violently resolved in their zeal and forcefully pressed into the kingdom of God. This was not an easy thing for either one of them. That they had a violent zeal for God to push past whatever it took just to touch Jesus. Because they knew, if I touch Jesus, if I can get him to come to my house and lay his hands on my little girl, they'll live. And whatever the cost is, it doesn't matter. because this is what's going to work. In Matthew 9:23, it says that when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Now, I want you to really get this scene. A parade followed Jairus to Jesus. Now they've got a bigger parade going back to Jairus' house. And by the time they get there, all the mourners have shown up. Now you've got these two parades that have merged into one. And you come to the house and there's another whole group of people. It's like, can I get 30 seconds alone? You know, why are you people here? And when they saw the people, Jesus says, make room, the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. So now they're making fun of Jesus. They're not just going, oh, Jesus has come. They're just, you're going to what? The girl is dead, Jesus. Boneyard, graveyard, dead, ready to be put in the ground. There's no hope. Why are you even here? And they started ridiculing Jesus Christ. And Jairus is just there. Oh, my. He had to fight through that. He had to fight through all the people that were saying that she was already dead. And I like 25. When the crowd was put outside. Listen, I don't know who did it. We're not told. We're not told if Jesus said, okay, everybody out, now get. Or Jairus got the whip down off the wall and started snapping it and said, out! Get out of my house! But listen, sometimes in order to touch God, in order to receive what God has for you, you have got to put other people out of your life and out of your space, even if it's just for a short period of time, because they will be blockers of your faith. And they will keep you from touching God and keep you from the assignment that you started out on. And sometimes you've got to put that out. You've got to put out your thoughts of negativity. You've got to put out your ridicule. You've got to put out all the mocking of the TV preachers. You've got to put out your head all the things. Well, the Bible just isn't true. Or the Bible's an old book. You've got to put all that stuff out of your mind because it will short circuit the move of God that God has prepared for you. Because remember, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world for our sins. Well, our healing was part of that too. The kingdom of God had come. And all these people are just mocking Jesus and making fun of him and all these different things. Listen, you have got to push through the shame, the crowd, the ridicule to get into the kingdom of God. And many will not pay that price. Lord, if your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Well, I don't see anything today. You got to press into this stuff. If you want an active prayer life, you got to press into it. If you want to increase your faith, you've got to press into it. Listen, faith doesn't just drop on you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you won't give yourself over to the Word of God, if you won't hear the Word of God, faith won't come. Well, but I heard the preacher say, well, hear me say this. If you don't get the Word of God and activate it for yourself, faith will not come to you. You'll just want to copy what somebody else did, and you'll just want to imitate them, and you'll say, well, why didn't it work for me? Well, I'm telling you why it didn't work for you, because faith didn't come because you didn't pay attention to the Word. But I wanted it to happen. Oh, I want a lot of things to happen. But am I willing to pay the price to get it to happen? And am I willing to push through? See, some people, I want to be happy again. Well, you got to push through the despair. You got to push through the loneliness. You got to push through the depression. Well, the doctor gave me some pills. Do you know what depression pills do for you? They make you more depressed. I'm serious. I mean, if you want to get out of depression, at least take an upper. Maybe I don't know if they use that language anymore or not. When I was in college, we had two kinds of drugs. You either had uppers or downers. Well, a depression drug is a downer. It decreases your ability to enjoy things. It also decreases your ability to be sad. So now you're just sad all the time. Because you can't have joy because it cuts off that range of the emotions. So it's like if you want to get free of being depressed, you got to stir up joy on the inside of you. You got to choose joy, and you got to press through it. Oh, but it's hard. I know, it's so hard to be happy. Because the only thing keeping you from being happy is you're thinking about all the things that depress you all the time. You got to put the crowd outside the house. You got to put all those voices to silence, and you got to just say, shut up, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. Debbie said it this morning in Sunday school. The Bible says rejoice always, and again, I say rejoice. I just don't have the energy. That's because you don't rejoice. Well, I'm just so tired all the time. That's because you don't rejoice. Because when you rejoice, you get energy. I mean, you'd be sitting in your house all alone and just have the lights turned off, just sitting in the dark, and your kids call up and say, I want you to come over and see my grandchild. Joy comes. Woo! Get to see the grandkids, yes, and energy comes, and vitality comes, and all these wonderful things. Well, why? The difference is you were sitting in your house just going over all your sad times. And the music industry will help you. I mean, you can turn to the blues station. I know they're not all blues, but you listen to some of this music. I mean, if you were happy going in, you're going to be sad coming out. You know, Papa stole the car again, left me and the girls at home all alone. Boo-hoo me. It's like, oh, my goodness. Well, I want you to tell you, Jesus went into the house, and he took the girl by the hand, and the girl rose. Wasn't that simple? He just walked in the house after he put the crowd out, after they mocked him. I mean, just think what this does for your ego. Boy, I really feel like praying now. Everybody's out there making fun of me. But Jesus wasn't caught up in himself. He was caught up in the kingdom of God. He put the people out because he knew they weren't in the kingdom. So Jesus put them out. Jesus is still in the kingdom. He walks in, takes the little girl by the hand. She rises up. Done deal. Now, if we keep going from that, because I want to get through this today, Matthew 9:27, it says, and when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, well, now Jesus has another parade going. He's got these two blind men following him, and they're crying out. And now, the cry here in the Greek means that they were screaming, Son of David! I would never say that. You know, sometimes you, preacher. I know, they're not going preacher, preacher. They're going, Son of David! Son of David! Son of David! And you know what Jesus did? Nothing. He just kept walking. If you read the scripture, you find out, and Jesus entered the house. Now, I don't know how close the house was. I don't know how long this parade was, but these two guys, blind guys, are following Jesus, and they're just shouting at the top of their lungs, Son of David. And Jesus gets them into the house. That's another way of getting the crowd out. And he turns to the two men and says, what do you want? So we want to see. And he asks them a curious question. Do you believe I can do this? And they said, yes, we do. He says, then let it be done according to your faith. Isn't that marvelous? Let it be done according to your faith. If you're able to believe this, then it'll be done for you. Now, this is a real neat thing because they got their sight back and everything was working for them. The Bible says he touched, in 29, he touched their eyes and saying, according to your faith, let it be. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. But when, in verse 31, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Well, Jesus didn't tell them to be quiet because he didn't want them to give a testimony. But he said, I already got a parade going. I already got a crowd. Well, after these two guys left, in verse 32, it says, they went out. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. Now other people are coming to him. Now, The curious thing about these two blind men following Jesus and crying out, Son of David, they recognized the kingdom of God was present. Now that's significant. Jairus pushed into it. The woman with the issue of blood pushed into it. Now you got these two blind guys. And I think it's significant that they were blind. We'll see that in just a second. But these blind guys, they're recognizing the kingdom of David, the kingdom of God. They're recognizing this is the time. This is it. And they kept hollering and hollering and hollering until Jesus got them into the house, into some privacy, and Jesus healed them. It says in 31, as they went out, behold, they brought to Jesus a man mute and demon-possessed. Now they're starting to bring people to Jesus again. We've seen this before, but now they're starting to bring people to Jesus. And when the demon was cast out, 33, when the demon was cast out, the multitude marveled. I mean, they were, wow, look at this. I mean, we just passed these two guys that were blind. They just came out and they can see. And we're bringing this deaf man in, and he's healed. And the people were marveled. And they said, it was never seen like this in all Israel. We've never seen. I mean, think about all the miracles in chapter 9 that's going on. And they said, we've never seen anything like this. I mean, we got three parades in one day. We've never seen. I mean, more than that. But they're just amazed. Now, 34, but. Now, I think it's interesting. The crowd marveled. The Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Now, this is kind of curious because these guys started a controversy. Now, the two blind men saw the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The Pharisees, they recognized, how do I say it? The Pharisees believed in the spirit realm, but they didn't believe in the kingdom of heaven. They believed demons were being cast out, but because they didn't believe in the kingdom of heaven, well, he must be doing it by the works of the devil. And so they, you see, a lot of times we believe in healing, but we just want healing to be healed. But we don't see healing as a work of the kingdom of heaven being present. And therefore, you see people getting healed, but nobody talks about the kingdom of heaven. We see miracles of all kinds of things, and we don't see the kingdom of heaven. See, God has told us, he says, I've given your nation back to you. And we're saying, I hope so. I wish so. No, God knows so. He says, I gave you your nation back. See, we don't see the kingdom of God at hand. Oh, there's a few good things going on. Yeah, we like that. Hallelujah. But the first time something doesn't go our way, and the first time we get ridiculed, or the first time people try to shame us, we draw back because we don't believe the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're looking to everything else. So there's controversy here. Now, it's curious to me that the blind men saw the kingdom, but the wise and prudent were blind. They couldn't see it. The Pharisees, who were teaching the people about the kingdom of God is coming. One of these days, the Messiah is going to come back. Jesus says, I'm here. That's not him. You know? And they couldn't see it. They taught. It's like Nicodemus. Well, how does a man get born again? And Jesus says, Nick, you're a teacher. You're a leader of the church in Israel, and you don't understand this? If you don't understand this, how can you understand anything? He said, but how can a man go back into his mother's womb? He said, oh, man, are you so slow? You've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the spirit or of the flesh, of the water and the spirit. And Nicodemus, I hope, finally got it. Yeah, but Jesus had to sit him down and explain it to him. Well, see, Matthew 11:25 says, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Now, it's curious. Jesus has been ridiculed at Jairus' house. He's been drawn into controversy with the Pharisees here mocking him and just, well, you cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And this just isn't God. What did Jesus do? Boy, I would have wanted to get upset and just, whoosh, away with you, whoosh, and they just vanish. I mean, I'd fry them, Father, get them good, burn them up. What did Jesus do? Verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was committed to his assignment. He didn't get caught up in the controversy at Jairus' house. He didn't get caught up in the controversy with the Pharisees. He just said, I'm going to keep about my Father's business. And so he went out from all this. He didn't go and sulk. He didn't go and cry. He didn't go and, Father, what am I going to do? They don't like me. You know, none of these things. He just went out teaching and preaching the gospel, the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was kingdom-minded. And wherever he went, the kingdom was with him. He wasn't intimidated by the darkness that surrounded him because he was the light. He had the kingdom on the inside of him. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't thrown off his course because he was committed to the kingdom. He just went about teaching and preaching the gospel that the kingdom of God is here. And those that want it, it's available. You have to push your way into it. Now, next week we're going to take a little bit different direction from this, because this is crucial, because what we're going to get into next week follows up on the presence of the kingdom of heaven and how we ought to respond to it. But Jesus, or Matthew is telling us in chapters 8 and 9, the kingdom of heaven is present. And there are people out there that will push their way into it. They're not pushing against God. They're pushing against all the obstacles that they have between them and the kingdom of God. And you've got to break through those, and you've got to push past those. You've got to press into the things of God. And you've got, see, this is one of our works of faith. I've got to push past all the junk that has built up in my life, all this sin that Hebrews says so easily entangles us. I've got to push past all my mental obstructions to that and just push into the kingdom of God. It's like, and if you ask, well, what is that going to cost me? You're not willing to push. Because it's going to cost you everything. Whatever is keeping you apart from the kingdom of God, you have got to be willing to push beyond that. I think it was Ryan that broke the 4-minute mile, final story. And when he was pushing, they were starting to have people run the mile. There were like 4 minutes and 10 seconds, 4 minutes and 15 seconds. They were so close. And there were whole articles written, man will never be able to break the 4-minute mile. It is physically impossible for anyone to break the 4-minute mile. Well, Ryan didn't believe that. And Ryan kept running and kept running. And suddenly in a race, he came in at 3 minutes and 58 seconds, I think it was, or 57 seconds. He broke the 4-minute mile. I mean, it hit the newspapers. He broke the 4-minute mile. As soon as that happened, all around the world, people started breaking the 4-minute mile. I mean, he was the first one to push through it. He had the nerve to not accept the common understanding of things. And he said, I believe it can be done. And he pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself until he did it. And after Ryan broke the 4-minute mile, he did it on a fairly consistent basis. And his time kept getting better. Well, see, you've got barriers in your life that have built up. And the reason you struggle so much is all these barriers. And until you deal with the barriers, you're not going to be able to break through into that kingdom of God that you want. Some of you, you've seen things that God has in store for you. You've seen the opportunities. You've seen those things. But you have got to press through all the things that come against you, that lie to you, that deceive you, to push past and say, those things aren't true. Those things aren't right for me, because God says the kingdom of heaven is present now, and I'm receiving it, and I'm going to go into it, and nothing is going to keep me out of it. When you go through struggles, think about Jairus, what he had to go through. Had to push through all that junk, all the people, all the opinion of others. He had to push through not wanting his position more than he wanted his daughter alive. He had to push through that. What would people think? And one of the worst, I didn't even tell you this, but one of the worst things that Jairus did, he invited Jesus into his house. At that time, that was definite that he was going to be kicked out of the synagogue. Because Jesus was a blasphemer. And for a leader of the synagogue to bring Jesus into his house, oh, that was about it. See, you've got to push past and invite Jesus into your house. You've got to give him place in your life. And when you do, oh, you're in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. I want to tell you, when you get in the kingdom, it's almost like you tripped and fell into it. You wake up and look around. How did I get here? Because you stopped fighting and stopped struggling and just accepted what God said about you. Healing is one of the easiest things in the world. It really is. And yet we struggle with it. I've been supernaturally healed several times. And God, I just like falling off of a log. I didn't really have to work for it. It just came. And then there's other areas I'm struggling and struggling. Why? Because I'm trying to do it. But when I forget about me and focus in on God, oh, Father, I thank you. Your kingdom is here. And to go back to the first part of chapter 9 in Matthew, Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. And if he's forgiven you of your sins, pick up your bed and walk. Because if he's forgiven you of your sins, he's healed you too. Amen. This is the kingdom of God. Not only am I forgiven, I am cleansed. Like the leper, I am made whole in Jesus' name. Why? Because I'm in the kingdom. It's just my natural way of life. I don't have to fight for it. I don't have to struggle through it. But I have to push through the obstacles that keep me out of the kingdom. But when you push through the last obstacle, you just kind of fall over into it. And you go, wow, this is nice. This is good. Oh, hallelujah. You better stand up. Hallelujah, God. God, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving, Father. Your kingdom is at hand. It's at hand for us. Father God, we receive your kingdom now in the name of Jesus. We receive, Father, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Every shortcoming, Father, we receive your cleansing from all unrighteousness. We receive that wholeness in a spirit, soul, and body. Father, I speak life over this congregation. Lord, not only for our soul, not only for our emotions, but God, healing for our bodies as well. Bring us, Father, into that kingdom. Reveal that kingdom to us, God, and let us see it is so much stronger than the kingdom of this world. It is so much greater than the things of this world. And God, we can give up everything for you. God, you bless us back with everything that there is. So, God, we give you praise this morning for our salvation. We give you praise, God, for our healing. We give you thanksgiving. We're entering into the week of thanksgiving. God, we give you thanksgiving that you dwell within us and your kingdom is manifesting itself in us and through us everywhere we go. We give you praise and thanksgiving for this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. God bless you.